You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O, RJ Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, wearing the colors of his favorite school, Oklahoma State, up in Stillwater. The one and only Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
Yes, it's better than I'm doing great. It's better than wearing the colors of from Texas, but nevertheless, I'm doing great, buddy. Great to be with you here on this Tuesday morning as we record.
We're over 2 weeks into training camp at this point, Tony. The Dallas Cowboys play a game on Saturday, starting to feel a little bit like the normal rhymes and rhythms of an NFL season. People are talking about their fantasy drafts coming up. It really is the best time of year. On Monday, my wife made a pulled pork. Shout out to some of my Twitter followers that gave me some recipes, and it was really good, but it was so nice. It was in the crock pot and it was raining in the afternoon. So it was dark outside. It was rain. The crock pot was going. It felt like, you know what I'm saying? It felt like a really classic fall day.
Wait a second. You said rain. What is rain?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And I'm not trying to be insensitive, because I know, but other parts of our country, that people are listening to bizarre floods and whatnot, but we haven't seen rain here in North Texas, and I don't know how long it's been. So when you say rain, hey, I'm my ears are open.
That's true. We come into this episode, Tony. Like I said, there have been 11 days of Cowboys camp. There has been no shortage of, I wouldn't say controversy, but questions. And I think it's important to note, we've gotten some answers on things like can CeeDee Lamb truly elevate to becoming the top wide receiver on the team? We've kind of gotten that answer, right? Can Micah Parsons do it again? We're you know, kind of feeling like we have that answer. Can Trayvon Diggs do it again? Kind of getting that answer. But we have other questions. And the biggest question has been about the kicker. Now, before we dive into this, I've never been on an NFL team. I don't know if you know this, I've never played football. I never played football in high school. It's just never my thing. And so it's funny that this is what I do for a living. So I've never, had to take the battlefield with my brothers and get ready for things. And so did you feel, and we want you to be honest, did you feel like kicking was, an issue, like it was important? You're in the trenches, Tony. You know what I mean? You're the one doing the fighting and the sweating and the scratching and the clawing. Did you feel like, whatever team you were on, whether it was the Cowboys or college, high school, whatever, that the kicker was a big deal, or did you not really pay it much mind?
First of all, I mean, I don't know how many times you reminded me and our listeners that you've never played the game
That's
of
right.
football.
Yeah. But that means I have no idea what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. You're very well educated, and as far as you do your research. But, I think that we always made fun of the kickers, but we really – it was kind of the love-hate relationship, as we kind of found out that people, that fans and everyone, as far as a kicker, it's a hero of the GOAT. But we used to always have fun with our kickers, because they were just kind of not really part of our clique, if you will. Mm-hmm. They only kicked, and then their training camp, they'd go and work on their tan and come back, and we're busting our ass and just trying to survive. But obviously the importance is when you're in a big football game and you need your kicker to convert and make a field goal and win the game, that's when you embrace them. And so I think it's kind of the culture, and the kickers have gotten to accept that. But now the with the change in the rules, moving the extra point back, the 15 yards, it's not a gimme anymore. So there's a lot of more importance on it to emphasize. And I think that while we want to just give the kickers a hard time and punters and everything that goes along with that, the whole specialty part of the football football team. It's important, and there's a and I'll be the first one to tell you that when you're in practice, and I think that that's then is this evaluation goes with the Cowboys having a hard time. They can't find a kicker that's consistent enough in practice. You watch and you see the focus that you have to have, and they put these really narrow crossbars in between the regulation crossbars, and these kickers sit out there and they work. It's like a golf shot. It's very difficult when you go out there and you're looking and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I mean, this is very difficult. It's not the physicality of it. It's more the mental approach to it. And, you know, to me, that's where you have a lot more respect. And, you know, now that they're in a situation where they're now starting to audition kickers, you know, here it is, it's what, 3 weeks, right around 30 days until they open up with Tampa Bay, and they have not solidified who their kicker is.
I think all that's really well said. I think it's really kind. You know, that was a really diplomatic way of saying, you know what, the kicker, he didn't sweat as much as I did. He didn't squat or lift as much as I did, but he was important. He was an important part of the team. And you're right. Like it's not easy. Obviously, I don't think anybody is trying to say or imply or intimate that it's easy. You know, it's difficult, right? It's there's only 32 of these jobs, and there's not even 32 players who are good at it. And so, you know, it's funny, Tony, I don't know if you realize this, but the Cowboys have kind of been in, we can call it kicker purgatory, kicker, you know, whatever, since we started the 750, we started this, in the 2018 season. That was the year they moved on from Dan Bailey. And I think it's important to note they were correct in moving on from Dan Bailey. A lot of Cowboys fans right now saying, bring Dan Bailey back. No. Dan Bailey, who actually did go to Oklahoma State, by the way. Dan Bailey is not the answer. That was just, you know, the Cowboys were correct, but they have struggled. They wound up with Brett Maher. He was okay in 2018. They ran it back because the Cowboys are a classic. If it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, operation. Things got terrible in 2019, so they cut him. They brought in Kai Forbath to finish that season and Jason Garrett's career as the head coach in Dallas, at least. And he was a perfect 10 for 10 on all kicks. I don't think that means that he's the answer either. But then John Fossil found his buddy. You know, maybe he loves playing golf with Greg Zuerlein. And they were married to him for 2 years. They would not, you know, give up on Greg Zuerlein. In fact, I don't know if you remember this on the subject of golf. Late last season, John Fossil actually compared Greg Zuerlein to Tiger Woods when he was talking about slumps. And he was like, you know, I think even Tiger, I think even Tiger went through a slump. And hey, John, I think there's a little bit of a difference between.
I think the reason why he liked Greg Zuerlein so much is he probably took his money on the golf course and paid for his bar tab. That's the only reason why.
Yeah.
Look, I think the familiarity is with you know these coaches, special team coaches. They know, they understand, and they know the kickers and especially guys, and so they're gonna go with that type of personnel. And I think that that's very important when you look at that position, because as a special teams coach, you got to be able to sleep at night, because that's a reflection off you. If this guy, for some reason, regardless if he's in some type of a slump, there's this this chemistry that goes along with the kicker and just this chemistry. And I'll take you back until it's Coach Hoffman that was the special teams coach back in my day when the special teams was such a big focus of for our team and in the National Football League. That was more the focus than anything before the offense and defense. But he had this knack working with whether it was Richie Cunningham, whether it was Steve Bono, whether it was Mike Saxon, whether it was Eddie Murray. There was this known – it was almost like he was this kicking whisperer, if you will. And now – and that's what you're kind of looking for to find this dynamic. But, again, I think the game has changed in the kicking – area because of just, you know, the movement of back and the consistency to be able to convert 35, 40 yards. That's your sweet spot, you know, but the pressure of it. So I get that, but there comes a time when that's not working and you have this relationship, then it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? I got to move on and find me that Steve Zuerlein. I can take his money on a golf course and pay my bar tab. And I love those guys. Don't you when you play golf?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know I'm going to go out today. And I know that I'm going to at least win $100, honey. So I'm not going to spend any money, and I may have a little money in my pocket. But those are the guys I don't tell my wife I'm playing with, because there's this expectation that I'm going to come home with a pocket full of money. I know that's kind of a side note, but that's related to kicking, right?
Right. Well, so, I mean, all that is fair and fine.
But where are you getting at? I kind of lashed out on Twitter and social media about you. I think I read something that, oh, it's the Cowboys' fault. It's their own problem. So, they should have not been in this position.
I did a video on this.
You need to clarify yourself. Oh, that's what it was.
Oh, I did a video of this on the YouTube channel, so people can watch that. But I obviously knew you and I were going to be talking about this. I do think this is the Cowboys' fault. And I think that there are so many people – and I don't think this is either one of us, but who, and look, I mean, not everybody's Tony Casillas, not everybody, has the relationship with the Cowboys you do. So it's, it's different. We're all coming, we're all like this side of the fence is just fans, right? So I'm emotional, but as emotional as I am, I do think this is coming from a place of objectivity. So if we look at the whole, we kind of talked about like them cutting Dan Bailey, Brett Maher, and then they bring in Greg Zuerlein 2020. They hold on to him through 2021. Among kickers who attempted at least 1.5 kicks a game last year. So basically, like of your starting kickers for most of last year, Greg Zuerlein was literally the worst extra point kicker in the NFL. That's not, being dramatic or being funny. That's the truth. That's the fact of it. Okay, so that was it. They had literally the worst, not field goal kicker, extra point kicker, right? Like it's one thing to not rely on him when it comes to field goals, but extra points are so important. And I don't know if you know this, Tony, the Cowboys played in 9 games last year that were decided by one possession. So, this is a league with a thin margin for error. Okay. So, you have a problem, you fix it, right? Like you do everything you can to fix it. And if you don't, it's your fault. And that's kind of where I'm at. The Cowboys, they cut Greg Zuerlein. Okay, great. Like if we follow the path of this offseason, you decided to move on. Good for you. They reportedly wanted to bring him back, at a lower cost. So what is that about? I mean, how could you have possibly entertained bringing Greg Zuerlein back? That to me is ridiculous. But he wound up with the New York Jets, who, by the way, had Matt Amendola on their team last year. Matt Amendola is one of the four who's working out for the Cowboys today. We're recording this at 9 a.m. for anyone who's listening later. But okay, so Greg Zuerlein winds up with the New York Jets. What are you going to do? What's your answer going to be? They didn't do a single thing. They didn't sign a veteran. They didn't draft anybody. They didn't add a kicker until after the draft was over in Jonathan Garibay, an undrafted free agent. I mean, you've seen, undrafted free agents in your day. You've seen drafted players like they bought a lottery ticket. You know what I'm saying? They were in debt and they said, hey, they owed you money. They talk about the golf course. Hey, Tony, I owe you a lot of money, but dude, I bought this lottery ticket. So we're good. We're square, right? Like just basically I've paid you. Here's this, the Powerball tonight is worth $100 million. So here's this ticket that I paid $350 for. You're good. And so what happened after that? On the first day of July, they may have already been seeing that Jonathan Garibay was not that great. They brought back Lareem Hyrulehu, who spent one game on the roster last year. And then they get to camp. And so they're here with their two lottery tickets, and they're saying like, wow, the bank won't approve our loan, because of off this lottery ticket. How crazy, how ridiculous is the bank being that they won't approve our loan? We have this lottery ticket that's worth all this money. And so, okay, fine. They've realized that obviously the reason we're talking about this is because they're having the four players come work out for them. They've realized they have a problem. They haven't even gotten to a preseason game yet, Tony, by the way. They're so deep in this problem that they haven't even gotten to a preseason game, and they already have to bring in four players. On the one hand, very good. I support the decision to go out, to bring in players. You clearly recognize there's a problem. But you cannot have the headliner of that group be Brett Maher, who costed you games. Brett Maher was literally a 66% field goal kicker when they cut him. They literally cut him 3 years ago because he was so bad. So how can that be the option? Like, how can that
but
be?
You know what? But RJ, you can say that about a lot of kickers that are still going around in the National Football League on this sure. merry-go-round. Look at Nick Folk. Nick Folk, how long? This is like his, 20th year in the National Football League? So he's found a place to go.
That's true.
So that is kind of the nature, the consistency of the kicker. It's sometimes, I don't think it's like finding a needle in a haystack, but it seems to me that it's the evaluation to be able to find someone that's going to be consistent. That's going to be, I guess we can say the most consistent, the the last kicker the Cowboys have had is Dan Bailey.
Right.
Okay. And the last kicker that they drafted was before that, I believe, was David Beeler. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe they drafted
the,
some kickers.
The human freak. Yeah. From USC.
Yeah,
right.
USC guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the muscle bound guy. Yeah. I love David Beeler.
But
my point being is that my point being is he's 11 watts down. And I played golf with him a couple of times. He was a good guy to take money off to, by the way. So
nice.
Anyway.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to my the regularly scheduled point that I was getting at is that, you know, the thing of it is – for me, it's like you got to give guys an opportunity to take the job, okay? They've had four guys. And to your point, look, there's guys out there that have been trying to find a job in national football, whether it's an undrafted free agent, whether it's, you know, Maher, or the guy that's been in the league. And look, you may have to go back with him because, you know, the evaluation for me is like, look, I want to see these guys in – you know, the game situations. Now,
right.
You're going in live and in practice and guys are rushing, but it's not – it doesn't simulate what you're really doing in the game where you got – you know, when it's – you know, you're about to be choked because the pressure's so – there's so much pressure, right?
Sure.
So, to me, I don't know how they can do that. I mean, in the Denver game, maybe get an opportunity. You know, these guys, I mean, they're going to have to score points. But every situation, give them an opportunity to prove themselves. Because, and I think that to me, that's the scary part, to your point. If they're not being able to convert in practice under those situations where the pressure is not as much in the game situation, to me, what are you going to do when – and maybe some guys, they're more of a gamer. You know, I played with there's been guys I've known I played before that are more of a gamer than a practice guy. So maybe that's kind of the – maybe something to be a little bit more optimistic about, because I know you're not very optimistic about it because you've been you blame it all on the Cowboys.
you bring up a very good point.
Maybe you can find some. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I bait up. This is the third time I've come up with a good point. So that's we're making headway on this podcast.
The point you're bringing up that I don't think enough people have brought up is Nick Folk, right? The Cowboys moved on from him because he got the shanks and he turned it around, right? Like, and that's, I'm not saying that when it comes to Brett Maher. I'm not saying like, oh, just because you cut him means he can never, ever be good, right? Because that's not fair. That's not true. We see players cut, not just kickers, like in all sports, like players get cut or doesn't work out with one team and they somehow find success with another team. Nick Folk is a testament to that idea. Because to your point, right? Like, well, man, Nick Folk could have been the Cowboys kicker since, well, I think he was drafted in 07, you know, for the last 15 years. So, you know, if you had never cut Nick Folk, things would have worked out. It doesn't work out that way. But so to that point, a lot of people citing, well, Brett Maher, you know, he was okay for the Saints last year. He was better. He certainly was better than he was near the very end with the Cowboys. But Tony, and this is where, and maybe my problem is just that Jerry talks too much, right? Like maybe that's what it is. But last Saturday, the Cowboys kickers have an awful day at Knoxner, and they're blaming the wind. Thank God there's no wind in any NFL stadium. The only wind on earth, you mentioned rain earlier, the only wind exists in Oxnard, California, apparently. But so Jerry comes out, he says, I'm not worried about the kicker situation. And he actually had a quote, and the quote I thought was silly. Jerry said, I know we're challenged out there against the wind. I'd like to see them in the calmness of the stadium hitting those 32 yarders, which happens to be the extra point. Let's get that down. That's where I want consistency right there. Okay, so Jerry has defined, as of last Saturday, the thing I value the most is consistency when it comes to extra points. Like I told you, Greg Zuerlein was literally the worst extra point kicker in the NFL last year among kickers who attempted 1.5 kicks per game. Last year, Tony, just this last season, Greg Zuerlein was 87.5% successful on extra points. Brett Maher was 83.3% successful on extra points. So Jerry, on one side of his mouth, is telling us, I care about the extra points more than anything. Brett Maher was a worse extra point kicker than Greg Zuerlein last year. So, like, this isn't even trying to improve. This is literally regression. That's where I'm coming down. I'm not saying that Brett Maher is bad because he was bad for the Cowboys 3 years ago. He's bad because he was bad a year ago. So that's not the fix. And my last kind of point, you know, on this, there are four kickers working out for the Cowboys. Brett Maher might not even be the best. It's Brett Maher, who was with the New Orleans Saints last year. It's Matt Amendola, who I mentioned was with the New York Jets for six games a year ago, was not a great kicker for them. Cole Murphy, who was in the USFL, and J.J. Molson, who has never kicked in an NFL game. He was on the Packers practice squad for a year and a half. But this last one, and J.J. Molson might become the greatest kicker of all time, but it was reported by the Dallas Morning News the Cowboys special teams assistant, Raina Stewart, coached Molson back, I think, with UCLA. So it's like, you can't just be bringing in like dudes, you know what I mean? Like that's not a formula that leads to success.
Well, I'm not going to have an overreaction on this because I think that
I'm overreacting enough for kickers, both of us, to be fair. So,
well, true that. And look, you can pull this out of your bag of stats and find out what kickers had the highest ratio percentage of extra points or inside, you know, to me, the money kick, 30 to 45 range, where that's where you really have to really just be money on. But I just think that there's so much I'm not going to overreact because I think that their kicker can be very serviceable to other teams. I mean, and look, it's not one of these, you know, these positions. And that's Maher. When you talk about him, I would think that he's kind of the guy that you got him in your back pocket. You know what he's done. You know what he is. You know his consistency. He's got history to him, as opposed to these other guys have no history, but they don't want to come out and claim the job. To me, that's their problem. Okay, because they're having an opportunity to give him a reason to keep him on the roster. But all they're doing is giving him reasons to let him go and move on to a veteran guy. So I have no problem with this because there's 30 more days and we all and look, the win, I understand that. They're gonna play eight games and but I've seen guys miss extra points with no win, inside the building. So theory, yeah, I get it, but it's like me going out and playing golf and it's 30 mile an hour wind. I'm hitting an 8 iron instead of hitting, you know, an 8 iron, I'm hitting a freaking 6 iron.
Sure.
And on a calm day, being inside maybe in a golf simulator, there's no elements. So I can't rationalize with what Jerry's saying. It's your point. Sometimes he just says too much,
right?
Because he's trying to validate his reason why they don't have a kicker on it, which makes no sense. But my point is, like, you got to be able to do it under any conditions.
I agree. And I would love to share your position and say, like, hey, there's 30 days, you know, why panic now, whatever, blah, blah. And I know I sound like overreactionary, and maybe I am overreacting, but I am not, and truly, I'm not, like, panicking. I'm not smashing the glass. But what I will say is you saying I'm not going to, you know, do anything yet, it's 30 days, that to me suggests that they deserve the benefit of the doubt when they don't. That's my big point here, is like they cannot be trusted here again, and that's why I said, like, this is on them.
I'm not saying that the benefit of the doubt. I'm just my feeling is, and I'm not concerned with it because I know there's veteran kickers out there that they can go to if these three young guys don't claim the job and they don't have any confidence in them.
Well, and
I mean, I'd rather have more confidence in Brett Maher, I mispronounce his name. I'd rather have more confidence in him going in what I've seen, what he's done, as opposed to somewhat an unknown guy that I'm like, okay, well, you haven't done it in practice. And then how am I going to engage on what you're going to do when we're playing Tampa Bay and you got to make an extra point or you got to make a field goal to win the game?
Sure.
That's my concern.
And you're right. it may work out, right? If it's not one of these guys who's currently on the roster, whatever tryout player maybe does or doesn't make the roster again, you know, they may have signed somebody by the time people are listening to this. But maybe it's somebody. A lot of people say that, right? Like, oh, whoever their kicker is going to be is somebody who another team's going to cut, right? Don't worry, there's going to be a veteran available. I just don't think that's a plan. Like, because again, you're kind of planning to hit the lottery. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't. This has never happened to me. My son is obviously, you know, still a baby. But maybe this happened to you. I know I did this as a child. Did your kids, Tony, ever when you know they were growing up, they were younger, maybe like 8, 10 years old. Hey, walk up to you. Hey, Dad. Yeah, I need a poster board for a project. It's due tomorrow, and they come tell you this at like 7 o'clock at night.
The hour before you got to take them to school. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you're like, well, now we got to go to the store. Yeah. We got to buy this. You know what I mean? We got to do all this stuff. And you go to the store and they're sold out.
And I'm probably the pissed off old man. Without a doubt.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that you go to the store, they're sold out. And you know, well, we're not going to go to school until we figure this out. We're going to figure it out somehow, some way. But it didn't have to be that stressful. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have to be that way. And that's my point, is this did not have to be this stressful, this complicated. It's not a plan to say, oh, well, you know, somebody else will cut somebody. No, like, keep everything within your control. Make the decisions on your own. They wasted all this time. They weren't exactly busy signing other free agents, you know, over the offseason, to where their time was so consumed to not pay attention to this. And so I know people like John Fossil. Maybe he's a good golfer, to your point. He says funny stuff, you know what I mean? But he's really bottling, you know, this particular issue.
All right, so if you're John Fossil and you put your special team hat on, What would have been your strategy going into in the offseason? Were you going to go draft someone? I mean, what would you have done differently?
All he's done is bring in his buddy. He brought in his golfing pal in Greg Zuerlein. He kept him around for 2 years. And then when it came time to – and so, like, he never even had to work to find a kicker, right? He comes in 2 years ago and, oh, bringing in Greg. So didn't even have to, like, apply that much thought. And the first year that Greg is you know, gone after they cut him, what was the first thing he wanted to do? He wanted to bring him back. that was the first move, was to try to bring him back. So, okay, well, you know, that didn't work out. What are we going to do? Free agents, I don't need any of those guys, whatever. Draft, I'm not going to watch to figure this stuff out. No, I'll just, you know, give me a UDFA. I'm John Fossil. I can make this work. Did you see my watermelon kick 2 years ago? I got this. And then, you know, after, and then he brought in Lareem, and he did not work with Lareem Hyrulehu with the Rams. Their time did not overlap, but obviously the Rams had studied Lareem and were fans of him and kind of knew about him. So you can kind of trace the only other kicker who the Cowboys have had somewhat to John Fossil's time in Los Angeles. And so now John Fossil's up against a wall. And he's like, I don't know what to do, guys. You know, my special teams assistant, bring in the guy you coached at UCLA. All right. You know, like, Cowboys, who did you have before I got here? Brett Maher, bring him back. Who is, like, what work is happening here? That's all I'm saying. I'm just perplexed. And I would love to be proven wrong. I would love for them to pick one of these guys or stick with one of these guys, and for him to be the best kicker in the NFL, so everyone can sit here and say, RJ, you big dummy, you were freaking out when Tony was trying to calm you down. But that just seems so unlikely to me. All of this is possible, but it seems incredibly unlikely.
So you would rather go with these 3-4 guys they have out there now that they've been trying to give the job to, but they haven't earned it, as opposed to going to Brett Maher, and you're more willing to take a risk with 4 guys that haven't really proven themselves?
I mean,
or done anything to claim the job? You're willing to pass that up when it comes down to reliability?
If I have to, I don't think any of them are reliable. There's no good answer here, to be clear. But if I have to pick my pick is Lareem Hyrulehu. Again, partly because, you know, what Greg Zuerlein was a year ago was not cutting it for the Cowboys. Brett Maher was a worse extra point kicker than Greg Zuerlein. So you can't sit there and say that this is an upgrade. And it's because, like, the general response is always, well, he could be better, he could improve. Yeah, any one of these dudes you bring in could be the next, like, great thing, obviously. But it's just hoping and wishing. There's not planning happening here. That's my point. The process is what bothers me most. My vote for, if of the available candidates right now, would be for Lareem. I don't feel overly confident in that, but I feel more confident in that than I do any other option that is currently available.
Well, I think that this is going to be interesting. This game coming up on Thursday, it's going to be evaluation more.
Saturday.
Obviously, Saturday, I'm sorry. I don't know, Thursday. But regardless, this week, it's going to be a lot of focus is going to be on that position.
For sure.
And whoever's out there, whoever has the opportunity to get the job and be able to, in a game situation, this is going to be an opportunity for them to make the team and be and as I mentioned, that be reliable on, you know, to me that is the consistency that has been able to know when the guy comes out there. You don't have to freaking sit on the sideline just sweat it out. You feel like the guy's got confidence in you as a coach and confidence in him as the guy getting the job done.
I agree. The only other thing I'll say about Saturday, because we're all fascinated to see how this is going to shake out. But the only thing I'll say, you played golf in Colorado, like, and I'm not saying like, oh, whatever happens on Saturday is meaningless. That's not my point. But we have to take what happens Saturday with a grain of salt. We can't sit here on Saturday night and be like, oh, so-and-so made a 60-yard field goal. You got to keep that guy around. It's different. He's kicking in Denver, right? Like, you have to understand, like, the altitude is a factor. For if the altitude affects anything, it's kicking when it comes to football there. You've played – tell me your drives and you know, your six-iron wasn't a little flush for, you know, 20, 25 more yards up in Colorado than you know, your normal game.
So there's going to be – an asterisk on if the guy makes a 50-yard line because of air stand.
I wouldn't say an asterisk, but it's just – look, Tony, I'm obviously passionate about this subject.
I know, and maybe it's because your passion for the game of soccer, but I think that you're overthinking this. I think this is a position that really I think will kind of iron itself out as we get into this.
I hope
and
you're
your
right.
Boy, Brett Maher is probably going to end up being the opening day kicker for the Dallas Cowboys, and you're going to love it.
I hope that it all works out and that everyone can sit here and be say, RJ, you just back on August 8th, August 9th, you were just being silly. I would love that so much. I really would. But we just spent 30 minutes talking about kickers. So, I mean, don't ever.
I felt like I just wasted 30 minutes of my life.
Well, maybe you did. Anyway, let's get out of here. Tony, give us one thing. Give us one thing that you will eat before the 750 next week. You said Nutter Butter last week, I think.
I'm probably going to have broccoli. Doesn't that sound sexy?
Do you do you put butter on it? Do you put like seasoning, like just salt, or like what do you?
I got the Tony recipe. A lot of olive oil, garlic salt, and this is a name. It's called Good Shit. That's really what it's called. I don't know. Google it. And it's like all these different spices. So there's all kinds of different type of spices in that line. So I'll probably put that on there. Pepper. But yeah, I think that's what I'm going to. We've been ordering. We've been doing the meals that they send you.
Right.
The meals that are more scaled down where you don't have to really, you know, they don't have all these defined different recipes. So. I know that sounds like something you want to hear me having broccoli. How about yourself? What are you going to have? You look like you're probably going to have a brats tonight.
You know what? I would love that. We actually are having the leftover pulled pork tonight, but over the next week, I will at one point have some Chick-fil-A. Cause I'm cranky. If it isn't obvious, I need some Chick-fil-A to calm me down.
So was a pulled pork? Was it this fall off on the sides of the
you put it on a
bun, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I think like it's not a roast. You know what I mean? Like it's gotta be eaten. It's a pulled pork sandwich. That's so we ate it in sandwiches. It was great. Like I said, I tweeted asking for some recipes. Somebody hit me back up. We threw some different sauces, some brown sugar in there. it was a good time. So you know,
good for you.
Hopefully, you know, maybe Brett Maher has a great pulled pork recipe that he'll share with us after he makes a game-winning kick. Tony, you said it all. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We'll see you next Tuesday. This was the 750.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.